You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Thank you. All right. Detective Consitis testified previously, has been placed under oath again for testimony today. I'll just inquire, have you been observing any of the trial testimony since you were here last?
No.
Have you talked to anyone else about any testimony they've given?
No.
All right. Thank you for answering those questions. Mr. Wood, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you. Good morning, Detective.
Morning.
You've already testified, but just for a bit of background again, were you involved? Where do you work?
I'm a detective with the Rexburg Police Department.
And how long have you been there?
Almost 24 years.
Were you involved with the investigation regarding the finding Tylee, Ryan, and JJ Vallow?
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you testified earlier that you were at Chad Daybell's residence on June 9th and 10th of 2020, correct?
Yes.
As part of your investigation, did you ever review any type of satellite imagery of Chad Daybell's property?
Yes.
How did that come about that you did that?
Well, in late July, as the case transitioned into a homicide case from the welfare check to the missing children of JJ and Tylee.
If I can interrupt you, I'm really sorry. July of what year?
2020.
Okay.
We continue to monitor social media, always looking for information to generate that could be generated to, you know, help us with the case. And in doing so, there was an image of a satellite photo of Mr. Daybell's property, and I followed up on that image that was presented on the social media.
And what did you learn from following up on that?
Well, I learned that after reviewing the story, I reached out to Apollo Mapping, which was the company that generated the satellite photo, and explained to them who I was, what we were doing, and if they could assist me in obtaining that particular satellite photo and any others that may help us with this investigation.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be handed what's been marked as State's Exhibit 142. I have a copy for counsel and a courtesy copy for the court as well. Your Honor, I would note that this is a business records affidavit from Apollo Mapping. And as such, I believe that this Exhibit 142 and its subparts comes in by way of stipulation.
All right. Okay.
That is correct, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Pryor. So Exhibit 142, and you said it also has subparts?
Yes, and I'll be providing those shortly.
All right. Exhibit 142 at this time is admitted.
Detective, what did you receive from... Well, first off, let me ask you about the document you're holding. What is that document?
This is a certificate of authenticity for the high-resolution satellite images from Apollo Mapping.
All right. And did that certificate provide any of the data regarding the images that were provided to you?
Yes, for the four photos that we obtained.
What were the dates on the four photos that were sent to you?
So the first photo was for August 27th of 2020, and that was for an image that was captured at 18:33 hours, military time, 24-hour universal time, UTC.
Detective, I'm sorry to interrupt. If you can look at paragraph one, and about the third line down, it says the specific date. Could you read that date?
Okay. 8/27 of 2019.
Okay. And then what is in that image?
It's a digital image, high resolution image of the Chad Daybell property from a company satellite owned by French Guiana. Okay. At 18:33 hours.
All right. And you said 18:33 hours?
Yeah, universal coordinated time. So when adjusted to Mountain Standard Time, that would be 12:33 in the afternoon.
And what was what's located on the second image?
The second image is also from the same satellite company of a high resolution of a digital image of Chad Daybell's property.
And the third image
is on September 9th of 2019. The high resolution image was taken at 12:32 in the afternoon.
Is there any reason why that date was important to you in your investigation?
Yes, on September 9th, that date is pertinent to our information because that's the date that the investigation, we believe that we believe Tylee was buried on Mr. Daybell's property during this time.
And then the last image
was taken on October 25th of 2019 at 12:42 in the afternoon.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be handed what's been marked as State's Exhibit 142A, just for identification purposes. Okay. And I do have a copy for court and counsel as well. I believe this is already admitted.
142A?
What I should have said is it's admitted by way of the business records affidavit as a subpart, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, it is a separate exhibit, and this is a picture?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Is there any objection to 142A being admitted?
No, Judge.
All right. Exhibit 142A is admitted.
Detective, do you recognize that disc?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a flash drive that contains the photos from Apollo Mapping.
And have you personally reviewed that disc?
I have.
Did you mark it with your initials?
I did, and also dated it for May 9th of this year.
And Your Honor, if I may publish that.
You may.
Detective, do you recognize this image?
This would be the image from August 27th, 2019.
And I'm going to zoom in. Do you recognize this property?
Yes, this is the property of Chad Daybell, located at 202 North 1900 East.
What date was this picture taken?
August 27th, I believe.
Do you recognize this image?
Yes, this will be the image from September 2nd, 2019.
And I'm going to zoom in. Do you recognize this property?
Yes, this is an image of Mr. Daybell's property.
Do you recognize this image?
Yes, this will be the image from September 9th, 2019.
I'm going to zoom in. Detective Consitis, was there anything on this image that drew your attention?
Yes. If you use the pointer.
Yes, please.
Okay. When looking at the screen, to orient yourself with Mr. Daybell's property, the main house is here on the left-hand side. This is the outbuilding, the garage. And then directly straight out from that, you see that little discoloration. And that is in the immediate area where we discovered Tylee.
Can you point to the discoloration you're talking about?
Right there.
Okay. Were you able to see that same discoloration on the previous two photos?
No, they're not visible.
Detective Consitis, on the days of June 9th and 10th, did you personally aid in removing Tylee Ryan's remains from Chad Daybell's property?
Yes.
Can you point to the spot on that picture where you removed her remains?
We were in this area right here of this discoloration.
Detective, do you recognize this photograph?
Yes, this is an image taken October 25th, 2019 of the Daybell property.
Is this the same property?
It is.
Your Honor, I have no further questions at this time.
All right, thank you. You'll go ahead and, all right, cross-examination.
Yes, Judge.
There you go. Yeah.
Mr. Bailiff. Judge, I have exhibits 43 and 44 that are admitted by way of stipulation of the parties.
Okay. They're offered by stipulation. Have they been formally admitted in the record yet?
Not yet, Judge.
Okay. Has the state reviewed exhibit 43 defense? Any objection to it being admitted? And on 44 as well, any objection? Those are both admitted.
Just need a 44. She can put a 44. Or 43, excuse me. And Judge, I can start until I get those back.
Okay.
Officer Consitis, as part of the investigation, you were provided a number of images from Apollo. Is that right?
Just the four.
Okay. And my understanding, when the image was up there, you pointed to an area that was close in location to the fire pit. Is that right?
It was probably, in my guesstimation, 10 to 15 yards from the fire pit.
Judge, I'm sorry. If I could just have a minute, Judge.
Yes, go ahead. And if you need any technical assistance, we might be able to help.
I think I got it. I think so. And Judge, this is part of, I believe this is 43A. I'd ask permission to publish.
All right, it's admitted, so you may publish. So 43's got sub exhibits then as well?
Yeah, I believe it's 43 through 43A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Judge, I believe.
43A through G. Then without objection from the state, those sub exhibits are all admitted, 43A through G.
And if we could just publish 43A, Judge.
Okay, once you're ready, we'll go ahead.
I'm ready, Judge.
There it is.
So, Officer, we're looking at Defense Exhibit 43A, and this is also part of the Apollo screen pictures. Would you get the pointer and point to the white barn?
To the white bar?
The white barn. It's
the white barn. I'm sorry. Yes.
White barn. I probably didn't say that very clearly.
That's fine.
Right. There. Okay. And then if you go to your right, there's a small darker hash mark there, right? That one. Do you know what that is?
If I recall, it is a large hitching post constructed of two large posts and about 8 to 10 inches in diameter.
Okay.
And there's a rung that goes straight across it. So it appears to have a consistency of like a hitching post.
Okay. And then again, to the right of that again, is another right there. What is that?
I cannot see. I have my glasses. If I could, Your Honor, if I could.
If somebody could retrieve those. Yes. Mr. Bailiff, we'll have those delivered up to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And then again, you were on the second mark with the pointer.
This outer.
Yeah, that one. What is that?
I do not know what that is.
Okay. It's a dark spot in any event, correct?
Correct.
And then down below, there's starting at the white barn down below, there's a more of a slanted one just below the first one with the red marker there, up a little bit right. Go to the right a little, right there.
This item right here?
Yes.
That is a standalone section of fence. I believe it's constructed of wood, has 4 or 5 rungs on them. It's probably 8 to 10 feet long, if I recall.
Okay. And then to the right of that is a whitish looking thing. What is that?
This is the fire ring.
Okay. And that's directly in relation to the white barn. Is that correct?
Correct. If you were to extend this line out straight.
You go into the fire pit. And then to the right of the fire pit is another mark of some kind. Do you know what that is?
I do not recall what that was.
And all the way to the far right out in the pasture area, there's something out there as well?
Yes. I wasn't out on that part of the property. I can't speak.
And then just south of the fire pit.
Mr. Pryor, can you pull the mic up a little
bit? I'm sorry, Judge. Just south of the fire pit, it appears that there's some sort of foliage. Is that correct?
Correct.
And it appears that it's at least casting a shadow. Does that appear to be the case?
Yes.
Okay. And Judge, I'll unpublish this one.
Okay.
And Judge, I'm going to ask to publish 43D.
Very well.
And again, Officer, again, Apollo video screen from 43D. There's a round circle there. Would you get the marker? Do you have the red marker?
Yes.
And would you point to the round circle, which is just north of the tree, or would be north of that right there?
The fire ring.
You previously identified that as the fire ring. Is that correct?
Correct.
And again, that's directly adjacent to the white barn?
Yes.
And where, in your estimation, were the remains of Tylee Ryan found?
Over here by the hitching post on this side of the barn.
Okay, so north of the white barn. On which side of the hitching post?
It would be on the west side of the hitching post where the red light is.
Is that right about where the red light is?
Yes, right in this area right here.
Okay. All right. And Judge, we can unpublish that. And again, Judge, I'm going to ask to publish 44A.
Okay, it can be published.
And here we're looking at 44A, and you've identified some of the other points. You're seeing the tree to the south there, is that right? The large tree out in the pasture?
Yes.
Would you put the pointer on that for me?
Are you talking about this one or this one here?
That one right there.
This one here.
Yeah, that's the tree. Where would the fire pit be in this particular position?
Fire pit would be right in this general area right here.
Okay. And then where would Tylee's remains have been found?
Right here in front of this hitching post.
Would it be to the left, or when you say in front of, would you mean to the left of that hitching post?
So if you're standing in front of the, looking in front of the hitching post, looking at the barn, it would be just off at a slight angle.
Okay. Buff it like at a horizontal or a sliding angle, like a 90-degree angle?
No, not a 90-degree angle. I would, if you're looking at a clock, maybe the 1 or 2 o'clock position.
So if you're able to put a pointer on that to the best of your ability. Okay, thank you. And that's the hitching post. And again, it's winter time, so we're unable to see the fire pit at this point. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And although with the white background, we're able to identify the more distinct structures that are over in that area. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Judge, and we can unpublish this.
On exhibit 44, Mr. Pryor, does it have sub-exhibits as part of it?
Just the 1A, Judge, is all it has, I believe.
Okay. So is it a single exhibit then, 44A, or is 44 and 44A different?
Look again just to make sure. I apologize, Your
Honor. Oh, that's fine. Thank you.
Judge, there's a 44A, which is a FBI investigation report. And then there's 44A, which is the actual picture on 44.
Okay. Thank you. I'll just note on the record then those are both admitted.
Now, officer, as part of your investigation, you were able to determine that by way of an email between Mr. Daybell and Tammy, that there was a discussion about burning some tree limbs on that particular morning. Is that right?
Objection. Misstates the evidence. There's no mention of trees.
Sustained.
Mention of burning some limbs?
Yes.
Okay. Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Wood, redirect.
Just briefly, and if I can be handed Exhibit 142 again.
Yes, you may.
And I apologize. I meant 142A. And may I publish?
Yes, you may.
And Detective, just for reference, what date do you recall just talking about this picture?
Yes.
And what date was this picture taken?
September 9th, 2019.
So I'm going to show you the picture before that. And what date was this picture taken?
September 2nd, 2019.
Now, counsel had you identify a few features. Do you recognize the feature that the mouse hand is moving over?
Yes.
What is that?
That's the small bush or tree.
And this feature right here?
That's the standalone section of fence.
And this feature right here?
The fire ring.
And this feature right here?
That's the hitching post.
All right. And on this image, there's some clouds that seem to obscure some of it, correct?
Yes.
Do you recognize this spot right here? What feature is in that area?
The hitching post.
Did you see this discoloration in the previous two pictures?
No.
Okay. And just again, can you point out where you helped remove Tylee Ryan's remains from Chad Daybell's property?
In this area right here with the discoloration.
And what was the date of this photo?
September 9th, 2019.
Thank you. That's all I have, Your Honor.
All right. That'll conclude the examination then of Detective Consitis. Is there any intent to recall the witness from the date?
Your Honor, just out of precaution, we are keeping all of our law enforcement on subpoena in case there's a need for them to testify. So we will not be releasing Detective Consitis today.
All right. Detective Consitis, then you'll remain subject to the court's exclusionary order. So please don't view any other testimony that may take place in case you're recalled. Thank you. All right. The state can call its next witness.
Judge, at this time, the state would call Doug Halapaska.
Affirm, swear, or affirm. The testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you.
All right. Now that the witness has been sworn, let me just inquire. Have you viewed any of the testimony that has taken place in this trial since it started?
No, Your Honor.
Have you talked to anyone else about any testimony they've given in trial?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, thanks for your responses. You can inquire, Mr. Wixom.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, will you please state and spell your full name for the record?
My name is Douglas Halapaska. That's D-O-U-G-L-A-S Halapaska, H-A-L-E-P-A-S-K-A.
And where do you currently work?
I currently work for the Federal Bureau of Investigation Laboratory Division. I work in the capacity as a forensic examiner within the firearms and tool marks unit.
How long have you worked in that capacity?
Been working there since 2009.
What is your educational background?
I have a bachelor's of science, which I received from Texas A&M University in 2001. I'm currently pursuing a master's degree in science and technology and intelligence.
In terms of your bachelor's of science degree, what is that area that you've got the bachelor's in?
I got that in environmental science with an emphasis in biochemistry and genetics.
What kind of work did you do before you went to work for the FBI?
Prior to working for the FBI, I spent 6 years in the United States Marine Corps as an infantryman. After that, I worked at the biochemistry, biophysics department, Texas A&M University. After that, I worked for the Drug Enforcement Administration as a forensic chemist, then with the Army as a field chemist for the Army's Test and Evaluation Command at Dugway Proving Ground. Evaluation Command at Dugway Proving Ground. Yes, ma'am. D-U-G-W-A-Y. Thank you.
As a firearms and tool mark examiner, can you explain to the jury what are the types of cases that you become involved with?
So often firearms and tool marks is thought of as two separate disciplines, but they're actually the same discipline. Within the discipline, you can think of a tool as nothing more that when two objects come into forceful contact, the harder of the two is going to mark the softer. So a firearm is really nothing more than a collection of different tool surfaces that is designed to control the expansion of the smokeless powder when the bullet is traveling down the barrel. The majority of the cases I work concern firearms tool marks. However, over the years, I have worked a number of tool mark cases.
When you say a number of tool mark cases, what do you mean by that as opposed to firearms?
Well, as I said, firearms identification is the same thing as tool mark identification, but where I'm working a case where no firearms are involved, it's just straight hand tools.
And when a case is referred to you, do you receive cases from outside agencies outside of the FBI?
Yes, I do.
When a case is referred to the FBI and it eventually reaches you, can you explain to the jury what is the intake process from the FBI before it gets to you?
The evidence often arrives via FedEx. Sometimes it's hand-delivered by a law enforcement official. The evidence arrives at the laboratory at the Evidence Management Unit, EMU. And from there, that evidence is processed into the laboratory. The EMU unit, basically what they do is they just inventory the evidence. They assure that the contents of it in the container are there. They enter that information into the laboratory's evidence management system, known as Forensic Advantage. And then from there, they generate an evidence sampling plan where the evidence is basically run through the different disciplines within the laboratory.
At some point, do you recall having a case referred to you from the Ada County Coroner's Office in Idaho in regard to remains for a Tylee Ryan?
Yes, I do.
And in fact, internally, was that case referred to you for tool mark analysis?
Yeah, that is correct.
Did you perform a tool mark analysis?
I did.
Before we talk about that, are there any specific terms that you might want to take a moment and explain to the jury before we begin to talk about that work?
I would. There are a number of terms that I'm going to use over. They're specific to my discipline. The first being as I told you, a tool and a tool mark are basically when two objects come into forceful contact. The harder the two is going to mark the softer object. The softer object is going to receive the tool mark. There are two types of tool marks, impressed and striated. An impressed mark you could think of as if I were to take a hammer and slam it on this surface, there would be an impression of the working surface of that hammerhead. That force would be applied perpendicular to the surface. The next tool mark is a striated tool mark. That occurs when force and motion is applied parallel or nearly parallel to the surface. And essentially, it just look like a number of scratch marks. The next thing I want to discuss is characteristics. There are two types, class characteristics. Now, these are the general or measurable features of a specimen, which indicate a restricted group source. These are design factors and are predetermined prior to the manufacture. So what I'm talking about are tools. So when the tool is being manufactured, it's going to go under design factors, and the marks that it's going to make are going to be either general or measurable. An easy way to imagine it is if I had two types of screwdrivers, a Phillips and a flathead, and I were to strike that flathead screwdriver onto a surface, I'm going to have a general feature of a rectangle. Now, when I'm talking about the working surface, I'm only talking about that portion of the screwdriver, which is going to be used to do the work, the torquing. When that's applied to the surface, it's going to generate that rectangular shape, that general shape. But there's also other class characteristics. There are measurable features. So I would also be able to measure the length and width of that impressed mark on that surface. And there are also manufacturing factors or characteristics that would be transferred into that tool mark, such as was the screwdriver tip made using a milling, a broaching, that kind of thing. If I were to take that Phillips, strike it into the, make an impression with that, it's going to generate a plus mark. So with these class characteristics, I'm able to actually differentiate different source populations. So if I had an impression made with a Phillips, it's going to make the plus sign, the flathead, the minus. So I'll be able to differentiate the different class characteristics and the different source populations. The next characteristic is the individual characteristics. These are the rapid and random imperfections that are occurred during the manufacturing process of the tool itself. They are totally incidental. Manufacturers do not intend for those to be implanted onto the tool surface. And it is these individual characteristics which are used to source or attribute a tool mark back to a particular tool.
Thank you. Your Honor, at this time, the state has pre-marked the state's proposed Exhibit 180A through 180L. I have a proposed for the court, a courtesy copy for the court, and one for the defense. They are offered per stipulation. We'll be moving for admission of those. Those exhibits are pictures of the remains of Kylie Ryan, very similar to the ones we've seen in the last case, or last witness, I'm sorry.
All right, on the exhibits, is there any objection to the admission of 180A through 180L?
No.
All right.
No objection, Judge.
Each of those is admitted in terms of publishing. I have a brief sidebar again with counsel, sorry. Now, if I don't want them displayed in public, but they'll be displayed for the jury as well as for the parties and counsels. So we have to rearrange briefly our courtroom and inconvenience those seated to my left who will need to be reseated. We'll go ahead and get those monitors set up here and allow their second brief break before the lunch hour. So we'll take care of that at this time. And I guess as quickly as we can get that rearranged, we'll come back on the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. Thank you. I didn't even think about it. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Bailiff, once the jurors are ready, we can have them brought in, please.
President of counsel.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. We are back on the record. The exhibits proposed 180A through L have been admitted. And Mr. Rickson, we discussed how these would be published. Also, just to clarify, they won't be shown on the overhead projector nor broadcast in any way on the court's live stream. The jurors will be able to view those as well as the parties and you, Mr. Wixom, on this monitor here. So thank you for accommodating the request to organize the courtroom to accomplish that. If you'd like to continue with direct, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Before I begin my questioning again, I also have what's been marked as State's Proposed 423, which is a written FBI lab report generated by Mr. Halapeska that I tend to admit by stipulation to the court. I've got one for the defense and two for the court.
All right. And I believe, Mr. Pryor, you've seen this and there's no objection from the defense. Is that correct?
There is not, Judge. I don't need a copy, Judge. I've got a copy. Thank you. But there's no objection. It's by stipulation.
Okay. Thank you. The court will take its courtesy copy. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Exhibit 423 is admitted.
Thank you. May I, Your Honor?
You may.
Thank you. Mr. Halapeska, before we get into the exhibits, I did want to go back and revisit some definitions for the jury that perhaps I failed to ask you about. When you do a pattern examination, Can you explain the three different functions of that or what you might reach as an examiner in those instances?
Yes. The examination process can be broken into two separate levels. During the first level, it is focused on those class characteristics that I briefly discussed earlier. So at that point, I'm making observations on those tool marks under low magnification using a stereo microscope, which gives you kind of three-dimensional representation of the evidence itself. During that time, I'm documenting my findings and to my notes, as well as taking some photographs as well. That's the first half, level one. The second half is focused on making the identification, the source identification, and that's focused on those microscopic imperfections, those individual characteristics. During this portion, I'm using a comparison microscope, and during that time, I'm actually able to look at two separate samples under the same viewing field. This is accomplished because the comparison microscope is actually two microscopes with an optical bridge. During that time, I'm looking at those individual characteristics on the samples and then generating a pattern match. And from there, there are three types of conclusions that I can render. An identification, a source identification, that's where I have consistent class characteristics. So the class characteristics must be shared amongst the different samples. Sufficient agreement in the individual characteristics. The next conclusion is a no conclusion. So that's basically when I have consistent class characteristics, but insufficient individual characteristics. And then the third and final is the exclusion. That's where the two samples are excluded as being produced by the same tool. This is where I have dissimilar class characteristics.
Thank you, sir. So once again, has the witness had handed to him states 180A through L, Your Honor? May I ask?
I believe I have my courtesy copies. Yes, I do believe the witness has those.
Thank you. Yes, I have.
Sir, just briefly, if you'll take a look at those and tell us what those exhibits consist of, not individually, but collectively.
They're images of two portions of a hip bone and an intact portion of a spine.
And are these images that you took as part of your analysis?
They are.
And they relate to Ty Lee Ryan?
Yeah, yes, sir. They do.
And just for your reference, we've also admitted your generated lab report. So as we go through questioning, if you feel like one of my questions could be best answered by your report, let me know. We'll ask permission from the court to publish that to help you do that, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Your Honor, with your permission, I would like to begin by publishing States 180A.
You may publish.
Thank you.
May I just confirm if that's being seen on the screen by the jury as well as the witness? Thank you.
Do you mind rotating it?
Which direction?
That way. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Sir, will you please explain what is in that photograph?
This is a portion of the hip bone. And what we're looking at is tool marks that have been generated onto that hip bone. But I also want to talk about some other terms I didn't mention earlier. There are action types. So the evidence we're looking at right now, there are two types of action types, stabbing and chopping. So a stabbing action, you can think of it as when a force is applied to a narrow portion of the working surface, like a knife tip, where it's being applied to an object. A chopping object is when force is applied over the long axis of that bladed working surface onto an object. And there's another action type not used here on this image, but it's called compressive force. And that's whenever force has been applied, but I wasn't actually able to obtain any kind of class characteristics. So those would be the terms I would be using throughout this this testimony.
Thank you. And sir, if you will, with that explanation, can you, utilizing and pointing us to this particular exhibit, tell us what you found in this photo, what you documented?
Okay. So what I did to make things easier to see is I actually generated a digital box around each one of those tool marks. And I labeled them starting with A and worked my way from there. So what we can do is we can start with A right now. And that was caused from a stabbing action. And what I observed from it was that the force of the blow pierced the hard layer of the bone. Inside the bone, there's a hollow or softer tissue. The force from this blow was strong enough that it actually cracked part of the surface on the posterior of this bone. That was incurred from a stabbing action. B was incurred from a chopping action.
Sir, may I interrupt you?
Yes.
I'm sorry. If we'll just do this one by one. On one, you indicated to the jury just now that was a stabbing action that you determined?
Yes, sir. It was.
Okay. And can we be clear, is that something that you can conclusively testify to, or is it simply consistent with a stabbing action?
Yes, it is consistent with a stabbing action. Okay.
And at this point in time, were you able to make a determination as to what kind of tool mark may have made that stabbing?
Judge, I'm going to object without some additional foundation.
Stan.
In looking at that particular alteration, what analysis did you do, if any, to help identify if, in fact, you could tell what tool mark made that stabbing action?
During the examination process, I collected those class characteristics I referred to, so I was taking some measurements. When I moved on to the second portion of the analysis, looking for those individual characteristics, I wasn't able to identify any of those individual characteristics. I took it a step further in my analysis, and I used some casting material. Casting material is a silicone-based compound. Kind of looks like a small cock gun. And what it does is you administer it over that tool mark. It dries, and you remove it. And from there, it will pick up the tool marks. In this case, I conducted two castings of that area and obtained no individual characteristics. From my analysis, I just concluded that it was consistent with a stabbing type action. But within my report, I talk about some tools that could have produced those stabbing type actions.
What tools do you believe would be consistent with those types of stabbing type actions?
Judge, I'm going to object. This calls for speculation. There hasn't been sufficient foundation for him to be able to make that determination.
I am going to sustain that at this point, Mr. Wixon.
Without getting into what your conclusion was, what did you do to look at and consider before you made your conclusion as to what kind of tool would have made that stabbing action?
Oftentimes, in order to make those determinations, we will make test marks. So an examiner will observe that tool mark. And from there, from my training experience, which I didn't have an opportunity to talk about earlier, 2.5 years of training, I concluded that it was consistent with a stabbing type action. I had, in order to make those test marks, you want to use a comparable media. Fortunately, at the laboratory, we have some bones. I tried to replicate those tool marks, wasn't able to replicate the same kind of tool marks. The bones that I was using were desiccated, they were dry, where this bone here was still soft, it was still moist inside. The way it interacted with the tool is different. But from my training experience, as well as taking some of those test marks, I concluded that this was consistent with a stabbing type action.
And did that analysis help you determine what you might believe, what kind of tool might be consistent with that stabbing action?
Judge, again, I'll withdraw this question, objection.
That's another question. He answered yes.
Oh. And what tools did you determine might be consistent with that,
Mark? Judge, I'm going to object at this point. Again, calls for speculation. It's clear that he can't make that determination.
I'll overrule the objection. I think it's subject to cross, obviously, but I think there's been sufficient foundation at this point based on the expertise he spoke to allow for the answer. So you can re-ask the question or he can answer if he remembers.
Thank you. Sir, do you remember the question?
Yes.
You answer, please.
So the tools that were consistent with producing this type of mark was from a single-bladed knife or a comparable tool. But however, other possibilities could not be ruled out as far as producing that stabbing type action.
And I assume that's because your finding was that it's consistent with. That's why other things couldn't be ruled out. Is that fair?
The fact that when I was making my test marks, I didn't have comparable media to replicate those same tool marks.
Okay, thank you.
That's correct.
Going back to the exhibit, I'll call your attention to, I believe that's marked as item B. Am I seeing that correctly, sir?
Yes, yes. Can we focus in a little more? Sure. Is that possible?
I will sure try.
That's good right there. Thank you.
Can you tell us what item B is showing us?
B is another tool mark. This one was consistent with a chopping tap action. This is where the force applied onto the bone occurred over a longer axis of the working surface of the tool itself.
Can you help the jury understand, how do you identify that as a chopping action?
It's where the force is applied. So when I'm looking at that tool mark, I can see that the energy that was delivered to it was consistent. So when I was looking at this under a stereo microscope, I could see a lot more detail. And unlike the first one, where it was the stabbing type action, where that force was applied at a very narrow point, and you can see where other portions of the bone were kind of carried into that injury. Where for B, the chopping action, I can see where the force was consistent throughout the base of the injury. Actually, the force of the blow didn't actually cut through that first hard layer of bone.
And did you perform analysis on that mark to help you identify what you believe might have been the tool mark used to create that?
Yes, I did, to try to determine what kind of tool was used.
And briefly, what was the analysis that you did specific to that question?
The tools that I rendered were, it was a cleaver or a machete, a hatchet, or other similar bladed tools.
When you say rendered, what do you mean by that?
Oh, that was just the tool that was that's consistent with producing this type of damage.
So is that, in fact, what you determined from that mark? It was one of those types of tools that...
Yes, it was. And at this time, no tools were submitted at this time. At this time, I was only looking at the bones. So when I'm generating a report, I'm also casting kind of a wide net, so that the investigators who are actually conducting their work basically have more information to work with as far as trying to recover different evidence items from the scene.
If, in fact, specific tools had been submitted to you for evaluation, how, if at all, could that have helped you in your analysis?
It would have allowed me to make test marks with the tools. But in order to make an identification, that second level of analysis, I have to have those individual characteristics. For both A and B, I was unable to obtain any individual characteristics from those tool marks. So in a situation like that, I wouldn't have been able to make a source conclusion on those tools.
So even had potential tools been submitted for your evaluation, you're saying you still couldn't have concluded with those particular marks what the tool was?
That's correct.
Thank you. Sir, I'd like to now call your attention to what you marked as item C on that exhibit and tell the jury what that is, please.
Yes. C and D. I have some other, I believe there's some other images closer in that I'll be able to give a better explanation of them. But both of those were consistent with being produced from a chopping tap action.
And we'll, in fact, get to those. So we'll just go forward on this. What about E and F?
I believe E was on the posterior of this bone. And it was created, too, from a chopping tap action.
What do you mean by posterior of the bone?
The backside.
And that's reflected in this photo?
No, it is not.
Okay. But the front injury to the bone is reflected in the photo through E?
Yeah, it's that one's just A through D. E will be on the backside.
Sorry, I have poor vision, I suppose. Thank you. For the record, I am now putting up what's been marked as States 180B.
Could we rotate it? There you go. And just, oh no, you had it. There you go. Right there. And just like that.
Let's start with the top photo and then I'll rotate it up. That's okay.
Okay. So this is from the image earlier. This is just a zoomed in of A. So basically what I did was I just wrote on the evidence. So I labeled A and then I added my initials DJH. And what I was trying to capture here was, as I mentioned, this is from a stabbing type action. So you can see as that tool was being applied here and that force was being applied, you can see where some of the fracture lines and radial cracks, some of the energy from that bladed tool was being driven into the bone. And you can see the fracturing of that bone being carried into that hollow space within the within this hip bone.
And what about this portion of the exhibit?
It's the same image, just under magnification. And again, it just kind of speaks to the damage that occurred from that stabbing action.
And do you recall in your analysis, have there been some internal numbering given to Tylee's remains?
Could you rephrase the question?
Have there been any internal reference number that had been assigned to the FBI for the analysis for you and the other experts at the FBI?
Oh, yes. So as I mentioned earlier, when the evidence arrives at the laboratory, it goes to the evidence management unit. At that time, they'll render a unique identifier to the evidence. So in this case, FBI lab's concerned, this portion of the hip bone was labeled as item 16. Is that your question?
Yeah, it is. Thank you, sir. I'm now going to place on the screen State's Exhibit 180C. It's in Charlie.
You rotate, yep.
And tell us what that is.
Okay. So that one is B. Again, you can see my initials. Right there, I'm just demonstrating or trying to capture those fracture marks. So basically, the tool mark itself, you can briefly or you can see kind of at the bottom, it's kind of darkened out, where essentially that energy was delivered into that bone and how it actually was consistent across that surface. So unlike the stabbing action, where that energy is being driven into a single point, this was over a broader surface.
So in fact, is this reflective of a stabbing or a chopping action?
Chopping action.
Thank you. And the image below there, what is that?
It's the same image, just zoomed in. What I'm trying to show right there is that you can see where the tool itself didn't pierce that first layer of bone. So basically it left an impression at the base of that injury. And you can kind of see some of that broken material at the bottom, that whitish, brownish color, that's actually the bone kind of being pulverized inside that injury.
And in this particular injury, is this what you testified to a moment ago that you believe could be consistent with a cleaver, machete, hatchet, or other bladed instrument?
Yes, that is correct.
I am placing States 180D, start with those two top photos.
Okay. What I'm demonstrating with the top left image, you can see those, how I labeled them. That's good right there. Thank you. I labeled it C and D. I've initialed it. The green arrow represents where that force was applied from. So as we're looking at this image right here, the force came from left to right into the injury. If you look at the image on the right, that's a close-up of tool mark D. And you can actually see a couple of things. One, the left side of that damaged area, you can actually see a long fractured area that was actually carried into the injury itself. Like I said, the force came from left to right. But there was another observation that was made at this time. The red arrows are showing that there's these scallop-shaped portions of the tool mark. Those are consistent with being from a serrated tool, kind of like a saw. But in this case, this was not produced from a saw in action. It was produced from a bladed tool that had serrated teeth on it.
So just for the jury's clarity, I'm not sure, perhaps I'm colorblind, but which arrows were you just referencing? You said red arrows. Which arrows might those have been?
Okay. So the green arrow represents the force, where the direction of force came from. I'm on the right image, right there.
That arrow?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So that green arrow represents where the force came from. So it traveled from left to right. And then the black arrows are pointing out those scalloped impressions right there, or shapes. And those are consistent with being generated from a serrated tool.
So were you able to make a determination through your analysis what type of tool, or simply that it was a serrated tool or anything else?
Basically a cleaver, machete, or hatchet that had serrated teeth on it.
And this portion of that exhibit, what does it document?
For this one, the green arrow represents the force that's applied, so traveling from left to right. The black arrows, in this case, you can actually see those serrated teeth marks. They're a little more pronounced, and basically the black arrows are pointing them out, so you can actually see them on both the right and left side of that tool mark.
This is now States 180E. Can you please tell the jury what that's depicting?
Okay, so this is the backside of that hip bone. So what I labeled as A, as I mentioned earlier, that's A was caused from that stabbing action. When that stabbing action occurred, enough energy was transferred into it that it carried through that first hard layer of the bone into the soft material, and it actually caused a fracturing of the backside of that that bone material. And you can actually see that right there with that dark impression where the part of that hip bone was cracking. D, that was the one that was caused from the chopping tap action. And it too carried through to the other side. So it cut through the first hard layer into that soft spongy material and then out toward the back. But it didn't quite travel all the way through. It just caused damage on the backside. And then for E down toward the bottom, that was the last tool mark that I found. The green arrow represents the force that was applied from left to right. And there's another image, giving a close-up of it.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, sir, right there.
Anything you want to point out to the jury about that image?
So the green arrow, again, shows that the direction that the force was applied, left to right. And then the black arrows, I'm pointing out that those serrated tool marks that were generated. So you can actually kind of see how they were formed with some type of a chopping tap action that was applied from a tool that was consistent with a hatchet, cleaver, or machete with serrated type teeth on it.
Thank you. Your Honor, at this point, does the court wish me to continue or break for lunch? I've got about at least 15 minutes left, I think.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.